Okay, before we start, let us pay homage to the Buddha first by reciting Namo Tassa three times. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Today I will give you a very profound teaching of the Buddha. Dependent origination. Have you learned about dependent origination? Yes? Okay, good. Okay. So dependent origination, to really understand the non-self nature, as I have said at first day, we must have the theoretical understanding of non-self first. But to thoroughly, truly understand non-self nature of mind and body, we must understand dependent origination or dependent arising phenomenon. Okay. And dependent origination is a teaching of conditionality to show how an individual or a being revolving in the wheel of existence, undergoing the round of births and deaths in beginner's cycle of birth and death, samsara, and how suffering ceases with the cessation of death causes and conditions. But although we say dependent origination is showing how a being go around the cycle of existence, but a being in reality is mere occurrence of causes and conditions. We use a being here is for easy understanding only. If we don't say being, then how can people understand? Because in this world, people understand concept first. From concept, we go to reality, ultimate truth. If we start with ultimate truth, people get very confused because we are not familiar with ultimate truth. We only familiar with concept. So for easy understand, we use a being, go through the cycle of birth and death. But in ultimate sense, we must understand a being is only combination of mind and body based on cause and conditions. Okay. So the formula of dependent origination is when this exists, that comes to be. With the arising of this, that arises. When this does not exist, that does not come to be. With the cessation of this, that ceases. That is to say, dependent on ignorance arise karmic formations. Dependent on karmic formations arise consciousness. Dependent on consciousness arises mind and matter. Dependent on mind and matter arise the six sense bases. Dependent on the six sense bases arise contact. Dependent on contact arises feeling. Dependent on feeling arises craving. Dependent on craving arises clinging. Dependent on clinging arises becoming. Dependent on becoming arises birth. Dependent on birth arises aging, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. Thus arise the whole mass of suffering. So So dependent origination consists of the following 12 interrelated factors, like ignorance, karmic formation, craving, clinging, feeling, and so on. And this ignorance, karmic formation, consciousness, mind and matter, all this are just mind and matter. So what go through the cycle of birth and death are only mind and matter in the ultimate sense. And each factor, for example, dependent on ignorant karmic formation, each factor is entirely dependent upon other factors as its condition. And dependent on ignorant karmic formation. And karmic formation turns, in turn becomes a condition for other factors. Depend on karmic formation, consciousness. So consciousness arises depend on karmic formation. But consciousness in turn become a condition for another factor, mind and body, to arise. So all these are interrelated conditions. Okay, is it clear? Okay. Now, this dependent origination is divided into three lifetimes. Past life, present life, and future life. So past life, dependent on ignorance, karmic formation. These two factors belong to past life. But since most Americans do not believe in past life, so I'm not going to tell you about the past life. We only deal with present life since we already born in this world. So we will start with consciousness. Consciousness up to becoming is present life factors. Then from birth, dependent on birth, arise aging, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. This next future life, and also can be present life, because we already born in this world. So it can be this life and also can be future life. So we will start with consciousness first. Consciousness. Depend on consciousness, mind and matter. So what is this mind? Mind is mental factors. We have 52 mental factors arise accompanied with the mind. Okay. Consciousness, mind, to make it clear, consciousness, the meaning of consciousness is just aware of an object. That's all. I see the visible object. So I consciousness arises aware of that seeing. That's all. The consciousness does not know what is this. No? Is it blue? Is it beautiful? Consciousness does not know. In order to know is blue, is red, is beautiful, it depends on mental factors. The mental factors of perception. Perception perceive, is blue, is red, is round. Then also depend, is beautiful, is pleasant, also depend on the feeling. Feeling can experience the desirable aspect of that visible object. So if the visible object is pleasant, then pleasant feeling arises. Consciousness cannot arise with pleasant feeling. Only feeling itself can experience the pleasant feel, pleasant aspect of the object. So we must understand consciousness itself cannot feel, cannot perceive. In order to perceive, to feel, to like or dislike, it depends on associated mental factors. So what are these mental factors? For example, feeling, perception, mindfulness, wisdom, effort. Then greed, anger, jealousy, faith, all these are called mental factors. Is it clear? Okay. So depend, but consciousness is the forerunner. Consciousness is the forerunner. Because of the arising of the consciousness, mental factor arise. And also because of the arising of consciousness, matter. Matter also arise. Matter is four elements only. So every arising of consciousness can produce four elements in the body. So if that consciousness is associated with beautiful mental factors of wisdom, or that consciousness is associated with beautiful mental factors of concentration, then it produces brilliant four elements in the body. That you say qi. If you learn qi one, you say qi. Produce very good qi in the body. But if that consciousness is associated with unwholesome mental factors of aversion, then it produces bad element in the body. It produces bad qi in the body. Then your body get affected because of that anger. So Buddha say action and reaction. Buddha say when you do good, good go back, come back to you. When you do bad, bad come back to you. Sometimes you say you don't believe because you cannot see the bad has not come back to me yet. The good has not returned to me yet. But if you have the anger, they say you arouse your anger. At that moment, that anger mind produce unhealthy four elements in the body, then immediately you feel the effect. When there's anger mind, the body becomes so restless, the body becomes so hot. You feel that you want to release that impurity. So you want to beat somebody, you want to scold somebody. So at that moment, the law of karma is punishing you because of the anger you engender. That's why, if you want to have healthy body, then you must have healthy mind, wholesome mind, pure mind. And that wholesome mind and pure mind not only affected the operation of the four elements in our body, it also affects our surrounding, our environment. Our environment also get affected by our polluted mind. So when you get angry with somebody, they say, when you are in anger and your friend come to you, you think your friend will come near to you? They will quickly run away first. From far away, he already sensed the energy. This shows that the energy can spread out from our body to the external world. So nowadays, the world is in disaster. There's so many disasters, natural disasters happen in the world. Partly because of our corrupted mind. Our corrupted mind not only affected our body, also affected the operation of the whole world, the earth, the trees, all the inanimate beings are affected through everyone's corrupted mind. So it's very important to have wholesome mind if we want to save ourselves and we want to save the earth. If we radiate loving kindness to everyone, then everybody feel the pleasantness of the environment, the pleasantness of living. So this is how depend on consciousness, mind and matter. So matter refer to four elements. So So one of the cause of the arising of matter is consciousness, mind. Mind can affect four elements. Okay. Then depend on the mind and matter arise six sense spaces. Depend on mind and matter arise the six sense spaces. We have six sense spaces. Here I have written for you already. Eye base means eye sensitivity. Ear base, ear sensitivity. Nose base, tongue base, body base, and the mind base. We have this six sense spaces. This six sense spaces arise dependent on the four elements. So in the teaching of the Buddha, we have four primary elements: earth element, water element, fire element, wind element. And dependent on this four, we have 24 derived matter. Among this 24, there are six called eye base, ear base, nose base, tongue base, body base. Five. Mind base refer to consciousness. So there are five bases. These five bases are called derived materiality, arise dependent on four elements. Okay. And depend on the six sense bases, arise contact. When the eye see with the, when a visible object impinge the eye base, then there's a contact. Without contact, you cannot see things. When a sound impinges the nose base, then it's called contact. The impingement is called contact. When a smell impinges the nose base, this is called nose contact. When the taste impinges the tongue base, this is called tongue contact. When the touch, tangible object, impinges the body base, this is called body contact. And when the thoughts, any thoughts, impinges the mind base, this is called mind contact. So dependent on the six sense bases, we have six types of contact. Eye contact, nose contact, tongue contact, eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, tongue contact, body contact, and mind contact. This contact are very important, because based on this contact, they arise feeling. Feeling. Okay. So since we have six types of contact, then we have six types of feeling. Feeling born of eye contact. When the eye see something pleasant visible object, immediately you feel the pleasant feeling. Is it true? Okay. When your eye see your enemy, your eye come to contact with your enemy, a visible object, then what type of feeling arise in you? What type of feeling? Unpleasant feeling. Almost automatically, unpleasant feeling. But when your eye come to contact with your lovely son, your lovely husband, your lovely parent, then pleasant feeling arise in you. So, but if your eye come to contact with a travel, object which is not so prominent, not so attractive to you, then what type of feeling arises in you?
Neutral
feeling. So from the eye contact, there are three types of feeling can arise. Number one is pleasant feeling. Number two, unpleasant feeling. Number three, neutral feeling. So this feeling arises depend on the agreeable or disagreeable of that object, of that visible object. So every eye contact, there are three types of feelings. So please bear in mind, because we will come to practical meditation. But before that, you must understand this feeling first before I can go to practical aspect of how to contemplate feelings. So every eye contact, there are three types of feeling: pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral feeling. So also, when somebody abuse you, this abusive word impinges your ear sensitivity or ear base. What feeling arises in you? Unpleasant. Almost automatically, unpleasant feeling. But if somebody praise you, this word, good, sweet word, impinges your nose, your ear base, then what feeling arises in you?
Pleasant.
But if just a sound, ordinary sound, impinges your ear base, then neutral feelings arise in you. So in ear contact, there are also three types of feelings. So also nose contact. When you smell something fragrance, then pleasant feeling. When you come up from the toilet, you smell something bad, then unpleasant feeling. When the smell is neutral, then neutral feeling arise. So the tongue. When you eat something, when the food is agreeable with you, pleasant feeling. When the food is not agreeable with you, unpleasant feeling. When the food is neutral to you, neutral feeling. So there are three types of feeling will arise, depend on the tongue contact. Then the body also. When you sit there for 20 minutes, the cushion becomes so hard, so unpleasant feeling arises in you. But when your mind can concentrate very well on the breath, the touch is so pleasant, then pleasant feeling arises in you. But when there's not so, the touch is neutral, then neutral feeling arises in you. So in the body base, there are also three types of feelings. And the thought mind base also. When you think of something pleasant, pleasant feeling. When you think of something, you remorse something. You anxious about something, then unpleasant feeling arises in you. When you just fantasy, think of something fantasy, then maybe neutral feeling. So mind base also, depend on the mind base, there are three types of feelings. So all how many types of feeling arise on six contexts? 6 times 3, 18 types of feelings. So you are going to contemplate this 18 types of feeling. When we come to practical experience. Okay. And what is this feeling? Okay, you tell me how you understand feeling. Anyone? How you understand feeling? How you understand this feeling? What is this feeling?
It's the attitude toward the object, my attitude toward the object.
Okay. Some more?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Feeling is feeling. Feeling is feeling. How can feeling be wisdom? Okay.
Grabbing.
That is only pleasant feeling. Unpleasant feeling. You want to push it away. Okay, hold on to it. Okay, some more.
View.
Okay.
Or reaction.
Reaction, okay.
About when unpleasant, you feel pain.
Okay. Yes, is very close. Yes.
To your perspective, the time you're holding whatever the sense of contact is, that's going to determine pleasant or unpleasant. And it's either holding on.
Okay.
Or
aversion.
Okay.
Or just is and
that's
like
a
okay, good.
Yes, there's just strong reactions, I mean, feelings, but it just almost colors the way you see things.
Okay, good. Okay. In order to understand correctly the way of practice, we must understand the meaning of feeling well. Okay? Feeling is only mental factors. Feeling is not I, myself. You must clear with this one first. before you can make progress. Okay? Feeling is only one of the mental factors. Each mental factor has its own characteristic. Feeling has its characteristic of being felt. Feeling has the characteristic of experiencing the desirable aspect of an object. Just now I have mentioned to you, visible object sometimes is agreeable, sometimes is disagreeable, sometimes is neutral. Okay? Sound also, sometimes is agreeable, sometimes is disagreeable, sometimes is neutral. The food also. Sometimes it's agreeable, sometimes disagreeable to you, sometimes neutral. Okay. So every object has its agreeable and disagreeable aspect, or desirable or undesirable aspect. Who feel that desirable and undesirable aspect? Not I, feeling itself. Feeling itself feels the desirable aspect or undesirable aspect or neutral aspect of that object, whether it's visible object, sound, smell, taste, touch, or mental object. Make clear of this point first. So if you now you understand, only feeling feels, it's not I feel, then you will easily see non-self nature of feeling. But if in your mind stream, if in your consciousness, you think I feel the pleasant aspect of the object, I hear the sweet sound, I taste the sweet food, the pleasant food, then you are identify the feeling as I. How are you going to make progress? How are you going to break your craving, break through the craving? How your wisdom can grow if you identify mental factor of feeling as I, as mine, as myself? You got it? Yes?
If you cultivate and start to lose more and more that sense of I, that sense of identification, and thus the non-discriminating mind, do more experiences just become neutral, opposed to more pleasant or unpleasant? Is the experience of it just neutral, neutral as opposed to?
No. Pleasant remain pleasant. Because we have three types of feelings, We have pleasant feeling, we have unpleasant feeling. If the pleasant feeling, the pleasant, unpleasant, neutral feeling, that is beyond our control. Even Arahant, the enlightened person, also have pleasant feeling. They are not equanimity all the time, They also have pleasant feeling because the object itself has the pleasant aspect. So the pleasant feeling just experience that pleasant aspect. But the enlightened one does not identify that pleasant feeling as I. The enlightened one only see feeling as feeling, not my feeling. This makes the difference. This is very important point for you to make progress in your meditation. So that's why you must understand thoroughly the meaning of feeling first. So whatever you experience, when the pleasant feeling arises in you, you must bear in mind. In the beginning, theoretically first, because you not yet see the truth. You not yet see feeling as feeling. You still identify feeling as I, because our mind has been covered, by ignorance. We not yet remove that ignorance, so we cannot see feeling as feeling. Under the influence of ignorance, we identify feeling as I. So now, theoretically, you must accept first. Feeling pleasant feelings, experience the pleasant aspect of the object. Unpleasant feeling, experience the unpleasant aspect of the object. So you must bear in mind, okay, if you have pleasant feeling, you must contemplate, oh, pleasant feeling has arisen in me. Pleasant feeling, just pleasant feeling, not I. Not I experience the pleasant object, the desirable aspect of the object. It's just the pleasant feeling experiences the desirable aspect of that object. Are you clear or not? Clear? Okay. So if you clear, then it's easy to practice. So you must know, pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, and neutral feeling, when they arise in you. And these three types of feeling, they arise all the time, but only one arises at a moment. At one moment, three cannot arise together. That particular moment, only one type of feeling will arise. Because the contact, the six contacts occur all the time. Now you hear my voice, there's ear contact. You see me, there's eye contact. And you think about what I say, there's my contact. So since contact occur throughout the day, then dependent on contact, feeling arises. So feeling also arises throughout the day. So now is your time for you to contemplate your feelings. What happens if you have pleasant feeling and you are not mindful of it? What will happen? Yes. When there's a pleasant feeling arise in you and you are not mindful of it, craving will follow. This is natural. For everyone, because the pleasant feeling is so pleasant, it's so good, so the mind will quickly grasp hold of it. Because all beings long for happiness, avoid suffering. It's the nature of all beings. What being wants in life is happiness. And pleasant feeling give you a sense of happiness. Then the mind will quickly grasp hold of that pleasant feeling. That grasping is called craving. And as you have some understanding of the teaching of the Buddha, craving is the cause of all suffering. Craving is the cause of all suffering. If you grasp that pleasant feeling, then craving arises. Then suppose that pleasant feeling disappears, how your mind feels? Because you already crave for it, you already crave. Now that pleasant feeling disappears already, then the mind suffers. The mind is in torment. So craving is the cause of suffering. If you grasp hold something, anything in this world, you can't find anything is permanent. You can't find even your love, your emotion, your property, anything in this world. You can't find anything is permanent. If you grasp hold something which is impermanent, finally you end up in suffering. Am I right? Yes. End up in suffering. So since we have been practicing the teaching of the Buddha for some times, we also understand impermanence nature of life. I think Americans now experience a lot of impermanency in life. They lose job, the political, then the economy going down. I think, and the divorce from so many impermanency in life. I think you experience more than me. Okay, so you understand, in this life, Whatever your experience, it cannot be permanent. It keeps on changing. If you understand, if you accept the impermanence of everything, then you should not crave for things which is not permanent. If you crave for things which is not permanent, then you end up in suffering. So understand, all feelings also impermanent. Buddha said, all feelings are like bubbles. Like bubbles, when in the raining time, you see the rain drop on the on a pool of water. It forms, immediately vanishes. It forms, immediately passes away, like bubbles. So all feelings are like bubbles. And Buddha said, all feelings are impermanent, and what is impermanence is suffering. What is impermanence is suffering. So since we understand, all feelings, whether pleasant or unpleasant or neutral, they are all like bubbles, form, then immediately pass away. Then there's no point crave for it. No point chase after it. If you chase after it, then it passes away, it gives you more suffering. So understand this. We must aware of all feeling. We must contemplate all feelings, whether it's pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, or neutral feeling, as impermanence. So whatever pleasant feeling arises in you, you contemplate it, mark it, note it as impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. Why should we contemplate in such a way? So that craving will not follow. If you do not contemplate impermanent, 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 the reaction of the mind is very fast. The moment you have pleasant feeling, the mind grabs hold of it. It's very fast because we not yet trained our mind to a higher degree yet. So in order to stop the craving, which is the cause of suffering, we must contemplate the feeling as impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. Whether we see the craving, whether we see the pleasant feeling passes away or not, we must contemplate it as impermanent, so to block craving. Okay? Okay? Just mentally mark, mentally note it as impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. And the purpose of noting, the purpose of marking impermanence, not only to block the craving, and also to change our perverted perception of permanent in things. Because our ignorance, the mental factor, one of the mental factors is called ignorance. This ignorance has not yet removed from our mind stream. So because of the ignorance, we always perceive things as permanent, permanent. Although we already experience so many impermanency in life, we still think it's permanent. So in order to remove this or change this perverted perception of permanent, we contemplate impermanence. And also, the third point is, when we contemplate impermanence, we intune our contemplation with reality, with the truth. Because the truth is impermanent. Everything, every conditional things are impermanent. This is the truth. So if we contemplate impermanent, we are in tune. We are synchronized. Our contemplation is synchronized with the truth. And then the truth will reveal itself very quickly to you. Just like when you want to listen, you switch on the radio. You must channel it. Only then the sound comes. If you cannot get the right channel, you never get a sound. Am I right? So also, if you want to see the truth, you must intune your contemplation, your mindset, synchronize your mindset with the truth, only then you get a sound, only then you get to see the truth. So it's very important to contemplate impermanent. Whatever you experience, your emotions, your fear, your anxiety, your stress, just contemplate as impermanent, so that you will not get affected by them. But you may think that, okay, all the fear, all the stress, I contemplate impermanence, good for me. But happiness, I don't want to contemplate impermanence. I don't want to let go of it. I hope the happiness be permanent. Then it's also craving. This part of craving. So you must recognize it's craving. Craving, you know, happiness also impermanent. If you crave for happiness, when the happiness goes away, then you end up in suffering because you crave for happiness. So whether it's happiness, sorrow, just contemplate them as impermanent. Let go of it. Then your mind will be at peace, equanimous, at peace. This is the happiness. Happiness in life. Okay? So, dependent on feeling arises craving. Then dependent on craving arises clinging. Clinging is intense craving. When the mind starts to crave for something, for example, you know, when a man sees the beautiful woman, because of the eye contact, then arises pleasant feeling. Because of that pleasant feeling, then craving arises. Then he want to get that woman. Then the craving become intensified and become clinging. He must get that woman. He must get that woman. So in order to get that woman, he must do something. He must do something to approach her. He must find a way to get that woman. So that doing something is called actions, karma. That doing something is called he performing karma. Here we call becoming. Dependent on clinging arises becoming. So when he do actions, performing karma, either verbally or physically to get that woman, that action, whether good or bad, whether he got it in the right way or the wrong way, any action, as I have said before, any action has its own reaction. Okay? So that action, once he performed that action, it leaves behind karmic potency. We call karmic potency in the stream of consciousness. In his stream of consciousness, this man, because in order to get that woman, so he performed some karma, whether verbally or physically. Once karma performed, it leaves behind reaction, karmic potency or karmic tendency in his mental stream. And this karmic potency will ripen when the condition is there. Cause and condition. When the condition is there. So when this karmic tendency ripened, then it will produce new life. We call rebirth. Or we call birth. So dependent on becoming arise birth. That birth can arise in a human world, or in a heavenly world, or in a hell animal world. Depend on that karmic karma, whether good or bad. If that karmic energy is good karmic energy, the birth will arise in human world or in heavenly world. If that karmic energy is bad one, then that birth will arise in the hell or animal worlds. Okay. Then when there's birth, whether you are heaven or human or animal, when there's birth, then there's aging, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. thus arise a whole mess of suffering. This is how the cycle of birth and death revolving. If you let the craving follow after the pleasant feeling. So in order to cut the chain, to break through the chain of this dependent origination, we have to break the craving. So when you break the craving, then there's no clinging. When there's no clinging, there's no becoming. When there's no becoming, there's no birth. When there's no birth, there's no aging, sickness, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. Thus ceases the whole mess of suffering. So the important point here is to contemplate feeling so that craving will not arise after feelings. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So now we have tried 2 days concentration practice. So from today onward, you should try to aware of your feelings. Then you may ask, how to aware? Feeling occur all the time. When there's contact, there is feeling. So when your eyes see something, you see your pet, the cat, wow, pleasant feeling arise. Quickly aware of your pleasant feeling. Okay? When your tongue touch something very sweet, food, pleasant feeling, be quickly aware of the pleasant feeling. How to aware? Just know, pleasant feeling has arisen. Pleasant feeling has arisen. It is impermanent. Just cause and effect. Cause and effect. What is the cause of that feeling? Please answer me.
It's the touch of the sugar on the tongue.
Yes, contact. So you must contemplate. First, you need mindfulness. If pleasant feeling has arisen in you don't even know, then you miss the point. So first, you must have mindfulness. When pleasant feeling has arisen in me, okay, you know, pleasant feeling has arisen. Pleasant feeling. Only awareness, mindfulness is not enough. Secondly, you need wisdom. So wisdom to see, to contemplate it as impermanent. And to see it's just an effect of the cause. Just a cause and effect. So then you can investigate what is the cause of that pleasant feeling. It must come from one type of contact. Either from eye contact, nose contact, ear contact, tongue contact, body contact, or your mind contact. So if you can see the cause of that pleasant feeling, then you know cause and effect. Once you understand cause and effect, you will not identify feeling as I, feeling as mine. You only understand just cause and effect. Okay, any question?
Is it helpful then at the end of this contemplation to say, so this is not I, this is not
true,
mine?
True.
Yes. Because you're repeating those words in your mind, but you're
strengthened
that it's not me,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so
right.
It's good to do
right,
that at the end.
Right. Yes?
So if you want to be happy, you don't say you want to be happy, because that would be craving.
Yes.
So how would you...
Sometimes you want to happy, but you cannot get it, you know? So don't look for it. When you feel happy, you know you feel happy. You know? Don't purposely look for happiness. No? Then you will end in disappointment. Why not live in the present moment? Whatever appear, arise.
Just stay with whatever.
Yes. Just stay with whatever arise. But don't identify with it. No? If you identify with it, then you end in suffering also.
I thought it very interesting, one of your comments was that you said you are identifying with the pleasant aspects of something or the unpleasant aspects of something, which I think sort of goes to what Bali was saying, is you can look at many things, you can look at in different ways.
Yes.
You can see the pleasant side of it, aspects, or you can see the unpleasant. So I guess it's a gift to be able to tweak how you look at the world.
There are many ways of looking at things, you know. You can look it as impermanent, you can look it as suffering, you can look it as a cause and effect, you can look it as temporary, you can look it as unreal. There are many ways you can look at things. But the way you look at things can stop your craving. This is the best way to look at the things. But the way you look at the things enhance your craving, this is the wrong way you look at the things. This is the important point that you must understand. So you must always check yourself. Do I look, the way I look at things, is it increase my craving or not? If yes, then you know, you do not look the things in the correct way. So it's called wise attention or unwise attention. If you attend it wisely, then it's called wise attention. That you attend it as impermanent, unsatisfactory, non-self, this is called wise attention. But if you attend to it improperly, unwisely, that give rise to craving, that give rise to aversion, that give rise to jealousy, that give rise to suffering, then you know you do not attend to it wisely. So check yourself, okay? The teacher cannot be with you all the time, so you must know how to check yourself.
Yes, so you recognize that the feelings are impermanent.
Yes, yes.
Well, suffering is a feeling.
It's unpleasant feeling, yes.
Unpleasant feeling. So it's impermanent as well.
Of course.
Okay, but yet we're talking about being aware of unpleasant feelings.
No, three types of feeling. I just give an example of pleasant feeling.
Right, yes, exactly. And yet we are talking about suffering as being a continuous, like birth and then aging, death, sorrow, limitation, pain, grief, and despair. All those are feelings. Those are impermanent, right?
Yes.
Not necessarily impermanent.
Okay.
But along with all these things, there is happiness, joy,
yes.
They're not listed here.
Yes.
So I wonder why these are listed and some other impermanent, nicer things are not.
That's a question.
Because the Buddha's teaching, Buddha said, my teaching is only deal with suffering and the cessation of suffering. So if Buddha mentioned suffering, I think it's more real in life. Suffering is very real in life. Happiness is very elusive, illusion. I think you all encounter suffering more than happiness. I don't know. I encounter suffering more than happiness. So suffering is very real in life. You know, and everyone want to avoid this suffering. If Buddha say happiness, I think people may, you know, get very, how to say, negligent, you know. Happiness makes people negligent. Suffering makes people diligent. You know, when I have suffering, I become very diligent, vigilant. But when I have a lot of happiness, I become very negligent. So Buddha want to tell us, you know, even how matter happy you are, you will not escape from aging, sickness, death. So these three cannot be avoided. Lamentation you can avoid lamentation, you know, but aging, sickness and death you cannot avoid. So it's very real. I think Buddha mentioned this one. And for us to get disenchanted with the suffering. That disenchantment is very important in the course of the practice. Without disenchantment, we will still cling to life. Only with disenchantment toward body and mind, then the craving will really go away. So happiness also impermanent, suffering also impermanent. But Buddha mentioned suffering more than happiness. I think it's very rare in life. And also Buddha want to encourage us to be more diligent. Okay.
I was with one of my friends when she died. I spent the last week with her. And even though I've heard the answer several times, I still didn't feel very capable of helping her. I understand that it's good that people hear good comments and positive comments as they near death. Mm-hmm. And is that about what karma is arising within them so that they will get a good rebirth? And or what is appropriate? What's helpful to do? How does that all work?
During his dying moment.
During the dying moment.
I think you should remind all his good deeds he has performed previously to let him have joy and happiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when collecting all the good deeds he has performed, then the joy will arouse in him.
Mm-hmm.
Then at that moment, if he passed away, he can go to the heavenly existence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is what usually our traditional Theravada monk help the dying person.
I see.
In Sri Lanka, there was a king. Whatever good deeds he had performed, he asked his minister to write down. No? On such a day, I have performed a good deed. On such a day, I do dana. On such a day, I come for retreat. On such a day, during his dying moment, he asked his minister to read out one by one all his good deeds, read out one by one. So he listened, wow, so happy, and passed away, and go to heaven.
This question brings to mind, what happens when somebody is suffering from Alzheimer's in the end of their life?
That is a bit difficult, but I think maybe he still can have little understanding, I think. May not be so clear as like ordinary person, but I think he still has some clear, you know, understanding. He still have some memory. You still have to talk to him, remind him of the good deeds he has performed. Okay.
Isn't it also important in terms of being there? I mean, being there, whether they have Alzheimer's or whether they're dying.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's our presence.
Yes, yes.
Is being there.
Yes.
And loving. And
yes.
Sharing that. Unconditional
right,
love
right, right.
With the others, regardless of what deeds they've done.
Yes.
You know, they may not have a list. You know, and that's the reality, but you still love them regardless, and to share that love with that person.
Yes.
In
yes.
other words, seeing the glass half full or half empty and sharing with them that the glass is half full.
Yes.
I don't know, I mean.
No, it's also, yes. Mm-hmm. To show the unconditional love.
Right, it's our compassion, not their compassion, in terms of that process.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm struggling with
that
in terms of how you get that message across.
But I think to remind them their good deeds also good. I think everybody, no matter how bad he is, he must have done some good things in his life, you know? Like giving a little bit for the pets, don't know?
Mm-hmm.
Any good deeds. Because sometimes with your presence, you know, but if you do not do anything, he may attach to us as well. He may attach to us. If he die with attachment, it's also not good. So remind the good deeds is good. You know, whatever can make him happy, but that happiness must come from wholesome thing, wholesome one, not from the unwholesome one. You know.
I brought
that
up, and maybe it's something that you all might learn to do it differently in another time. I was with her the 8 days, 24 hours a day before she died, and we took her to the hospital, and I wasn't prepared for her to look so sad as she was dying. It seemed like she was bringing up sad thoughts, and, you know, we were there, we told her we loved her, there were a couple of us, we, you know, held her hand as she died, and, you know, we were there, but it just, I just was sort of overwhelmed with her sadness. And I, if I had to do again, if I knew someone was dying, I would make a list of all the wonderful things that I remembered about them. So at
yes.
that time, I would be able to say some of those things to
right,
them.
Right.
Because it is a very powerful time, and I didn't do it as well as I would have liked to have. So.
Then you should not remorse as well.
No, I loved it very much, and we had some good laughter. But yes.
Okay, so last question. Any question? Is what I explained to you clear to you? Do you know how to practice, how to contemplate your feelings?
Actually, I did want to ask about that. I mean, we're still focusing on our breathing, but noting the stuff as feelings as they arise, as they inevitably do, or is it different?
I thought tomorrow morning I want to teach you how to start with the feelings. Okay? Tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, I give you some guided instruction. But now you can carry on with your breathing. But if very prominent pleasant feeling arise, you can test a little bit. Just aware of that pleasant feeling and contemplate it as impermanent. Then if it goes away, then come back to the breath. If there's no prominent feeling, then you concentrate on the breath. Okay, so that's the end of today's talk. Tomorrow's talk, I will invite another Aya to give the 4 p.m.'s talk. So she will take over my place.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.